Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks. Thank you very, very much for listening. The date today is the 15th of April, year of our Lord, 2021. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. And alongside him is probably the most electric guest that we have had in the history of the Bun and Cardigan Show. We love Lazarus Jackson. We love Matt Shook. But Nikias Duncan of BasketballNews.com, co-host of the Dunker Spot with Steve Jones. This is probably, again, the hottest in the streets guest that we've ever had. Nikias, how are you doing today?
I am doing pretty well. High praise. Not sure if I agree with it. You know, Laz is the man, but I'm happy to be here.
We got the first guy ever to get on Old Take Exposed for crapping on himself.
Yeah, that's been a thing that's going on this morning.
Yeah, and I think the tweet was from 2016, right, Nikias?
Yes.
And yeah, I'm glad you didn't give up then, because I don't remember the first time Nikias popped up on my Twitter feed, and I don't remember when I followed him. He's just been there, and he's a great follow for basketball fans. He's funny. I said crapping because he doesn't cuss, and we tend to get a little loose-lipped on this pod. But he's a guy, great basketball mind. One thing I like about him, he knows a lot, but he's also curious, and he asks a lot of questions. So it is an honor to have you on to come down to our level and talk Pistons. And, we appreciate you taking the time out, man.
Appreciate y'all reaching out, man. Let's rock it out.
Yeah. So before we're going to do primarily Pistons, Nikias, I do want to ask you one sort of just generalized question about the NBA. Just as like a little bit of a warm up. Sure. Okay. So you oftentimes hear about, man, this superstar, man, he makes it look so effortless, makes it look so easy. Oftentimes you hear it about Steph, right? He'll put up 25 and a quarter. He just makes it look easy. Talk to us a little bit, Steph-ertless. There you go. Just goes into my point. Give us an example of somebody who you think is a superstar, but they never make it look easy. Because I have an example. If you need to think about it, I can give mine, but I'm curious to hear who you think.
A superstar that does not make it look easy.
They make it look way harder than it needs to be.
Ooh,
that's a good question. Can I offer up a name?
Yeah, I'll give mine. Go ahead and give yours.
I don't think Kawhi makes it look easy.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate?
There might be better answers.
Mine is Anthony Davis, because I think you have a guy that, what's the common joke that's said about him? He's a guy who's 6'11", who too often plays like he's 6'3", right? Mm. You have this vertical threat who often goes stationary. He almost plays like a glorified rim runner at times. There's no disrespect to Anthony Davis, but it's just, I don't always have fun watching him. And then by the end of the game, oh my, he's got 28, 12, 6, and 4 blocks. And it always surprises me. Like, I referenced it a million times on this show, the matchup that him and Jokic had in the playoffs last year was at the Western Conference Finals. And it neither of them ever made it look easy, but that's Anthony Davis. That's my pick. Nikias, who would you say?
I was actually torn between Anthony Davis and Luka.
I like
because
that.
I feel like Luka makes the passing things look easy. Right. If someone's wrong on the weak side or whatever, then he's just dotting them up. But like as a scorer, it doesn't seem like he creates much separation, but then he's at his spot.
Right.
Sure. Okay.
No, that's a good pick. I wouldn't have went Luka, because I would have. But when you think about it and you just visualize Luka plays in your head, not many are easy. Obviously, he doesn't blow past guys. And that's kind of why I said Kawhi too. Kawhi kind of embraces contact, especially in ISO, and it's just always somebody's guarding him. And I guess you could say the same thing for Luka. Paul George is another one that makes it look easy to me. I just think his game is so smooth, mm-hmm. and he obviously has his own issues. But no, I like Luka. I don't know if I would have went with that. My question for you, Nikias, is a personal one. I'm just curious more about your backstory, because I just know you from Twitter. Like, where are you from, and how did you work your way up to, as many have written, one of the best NBA follows out there?
Well, I'm from a small town in South Carolina, just recently moved to Charlotte earlier this year. Actually got my start doing some blogging on Facebook while I was in middle school and high school. So I started there, kind of built a following there, eventually transitioned to Twitter. And around that time I wrote the sports section for my high school paper for a year. Mm-hmm. And from there, it's just been a bunch of like just freelance opportunities, just kind of networking and building after I finally transitioned to Twitter, since I was able to connect with some folks from Facebook, and those connections helped me.
When, now you are a big name on basketball Twitter. When did that happen? Was there is it consistency? Is there a particular story that maybe put you on the radar? Was it a series of tweets? What do you, can you put pinpoint like what put you into this kind of stratosphere as a must follow on basketball Twitter?
Honestly, no, not really. Like, I feel like it's just the consistency, because I'm tweeting or writing about basketball like all year long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I feel like just kind of building a base that way was the best way that I did it.
Do you remember like the first big name that shouted you out?
AD just did it the other day. We talked about that for a minute.
That's right.
Oh man, that's true.
I mean, like in the journalism world, yeah.
Yeah. The first one that comes to mind, I don't know if it was the, if this was the first one, but the first one that comes to mind, I was writing for FanRag Sports, now defunct site. And I wrote a piece on, I believe it was Steph Curry. And it was something, he was having a nice stretch of games, and something was, I can't even remember what the exact piece was, but something stood out to me, and I wrote the piece about Steph. And Matt Moore quote tweeted the piece.
Okay.
And called it good. And at this point, like, he wasn't following me at this point or anything. I was just like, wow.
The fact and that's that Hardwood Paradigm. Is it Paradigm or Paradox on Twitter?
I never know how to pronounce it, but yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's his Twitter handle, yeah.
Yeah, so at that point, I was like, wow, my stuff is starting to catch the eyes of some people that I'm looking up to.
Yeah, so. Cool. Now, I was always curious, because we've interacted on Twitter. This is our first time, I guess, quote-unquote meeting. So
sure.
I was always curious with the story. Like I said, when I followed you, I don't know when that was. You just came part of my Twitter feed. So, no, that's super interesting. Yeah, it's the grind. Nick, you've heard a few of the grind stories.
Yeah.
Since we've done this podcast, definitely.
That's, yeah,
another one.
I think the thing that really sticks out about you, Nikias, and this is sort of what I was referencing when I talk about how electric you are, is you have James has a loyal readership. I have a loyal, I guess, listenership or viewership, whatever you want to call it. But the people who support you are on a fundamentally different level. Like, the Nikias Hive is a very real thing. Your support system online is absolutely out of this world. How much does it mean to you knowing that you have like 30,000 people that are going to go to bat for you at any given moment?
It is weird, first and foremost, because I don't know, like, I'm not used to this sort of attention.
Yeah.
It's taken some getting used to. Like, of course, I appreciate the readership, the listenership, and like just the general compliments that I get on my work and stuff. I appreciate it, but it also is overwhelming at times. Because I'm just not used to having that level of attention. Like, I'm very much one that's comfortable just putting out my work and just going.
Yeah.
Or just kind of staying in my own little bubble. So the fact that I have so many people that do support me in a multitude of ways, it means quite a bit.
For sure. You you oftentimes, whenever you, now folks, we'll transition to the Pistons a little bit. Whenever you watch a game, I feel like, I don't want to say more often than not, but usually it feels like it's after the fact, right? You'll go back and watch the games that happened tonight. You'll watch them tomorrow because you're trying, like, you're a student of the game, right? I think you probably have your bachelor's in basketballology. You're going to school for your master's right now. So every day you're consumed by basketball. I feel like a lot of the times whenever you're tweeting about the Pistons, you are watching after the fact. I could be wrong on that, but it feels like you're doing your threads or something the day after. First of all, it always makes
human who doesn't get paid or is a fan of this franchise should be watching the Pistons live. So he's doing it right.
Right. My thing is, like, how hard is it for you sometimes to sit through those games? Or is it kind of, are you actually sort of captivated by the performances of Sadiq Bey, by Jeremy Grant, by Isaiah Stewart? How easy or difficult is it for someone like you who has no attachment to this franchise to actually sit through these games?
I don't think it's particularly tough. Like, at the end of the day, it's basketball. And the way that I'm viewing basketball is more like scheme-based anyway.
Yeah.
And trying to recognize what sets teams are running, and if it works, then why did it work? And if it didn't, then who messed up? So, like, I'm always captivated by something. So with Detroit being as young of a team as they are and having so many moving parts, like, I'm never bored watching them. Even if they play poorly, it's just like, well, I know why they're playing poorly, but let's see, you know, what are the reasons behind the failure, execution or whatever. So I never find myself bored by them. I don't think it's harder than any other team, honestly.
I have a question on that. Knowing that, yeah, like you said, your expertise is in watching schemes and identifying certain sets and identifying just kind of the makeup of teams' offensive structure, defensive structure. What are your thoughts on Dwayne Casey? Because he's an interesting guy who I think is a really good coach in this league. People, when the Raptors made the move to Nick Nurse, obviously, as you know, everyone praises Nick Nurse for being a great X's and O's coach. And we've went on this spiel on here, Nick, where...
Yeah, James is not of this mindset.
No, I think he is. If you just look at, again, if we're comparing Dwayne's time in Toronto to Nick Nurse's, Dwayne had to go against LeBron and he didn't have Kawhi. Nick Nurse didn't have to go against LeBron and he had Kawhi. And then the years he didn't have Kawhi, the Raptors have struggled or haven't gone as far as they did under Dwayne in similar circumstances. So I think without question, Dwayne is a guy that gets guys to play for him. You see it with this Pistons team. They, as bad as their record is, I've written about it. I wrote about it today. People have talked about it. They're not as bad as their record. I think when people catch them on a good night, they're like, this team only won 16 games. Maybe they should have 20. Like, they're not a good team, but you could see how they're not maybe the worst team in the East. I guess, Nikias, from your just when you do tune into the Pistons, do you like the stuff that they run in Detroit too? Or how much of it can you chalk up to also just not having the personnel to maybe put together functional offense consistently?
I think it's more of the latter, honestly.
I agree.
The point guard room in Detroit it's an issue, but it's predictably an issue. Yep. Like, you have Killian Hayes, who is a rookie, and then he misses a large swath of time. And then you're kind of toggling through guys to run the offense. And then you also have Jeremy Grant basically initiating a lot because
who else will?
Yeah. So Jeremy Grant has both been a lot better than I anticipated, but also the limitations of what he can do as a primary option are pretty clear, especially on the playmaking side. So I haven't had an issue with Dwayne Casey. Like, I think the actions themselves are fine. Like, if anything, sure, I'd like to see more perimeter-based stuff.
More hammer plays. More hammer plays over on this side. That's what we want, more hammer plays.
There we go. So, I mean, there's some low-hanging fruit there, but also the personnel is kind of the personnel.
Right.
You know, the injuries have been kind of the injuries. So I think he's doing the best with what he has, and that sounds like a very cliche answer, but
sure,
this is like year one of a major rebuild for Detroit.
Right. And that's that's the major answer. And Nikias, you see Pistons fans and you're mentioned every now and then. Obviously, I deal with them every day. And there is a large section who love Dwayne. And then there's a section who just think he doesn't run great offense. And I just don't think that's true. I think that he got the best out of that Raptors team, given what they had. And I understand like some limitations, but I even think some of that was personnel, as you could see what happened when they shifted DeMar for Kawhi. I mean, that's going to make anybody better, but you know what I mean? And then in Detroit, every year he's been here, the personnel has been bad, or at least I shouldn't say bad, but it's not
injured.
Like
injured is probably the better word.
Injured. But even if they weren't injured, nobody's looking at those teams and thinking this is going to be, I mean, it took Blake's best year of his career for them to squeeze into the playoffs and be a functional offense. And that was the offense, Blake Griffin. And Casey, I think, utilized what he saw as this is literally the only way we're going to make a run is playing through Blake. And it was the right call. And then there were people then who were like, we just played through Blake too much. I'm like, what else are you going to do? And I think Casey does a good job of recognizing his team's strengths and weaknesses and playing to them. But I also just think he's had tough luck with rosters since he's come to Detroit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, running the offense through Blake and not just running it through him in ways that accentuate the skill set, like using him above the break as the dribble handoff threat, letting him run some pick and roll sometimes, because if the archaic way to do it be like, hey, let's dump it down to Blake on the block and see if he draws a double team, and you see enough of those leaning awkward hooks and you realize that's not the best way to use Blake Griffin. So, I mean, it's a credit to him of recognizing that you need to play through that guy and also do it in a way that can invert your offense and really put strain on the defense. And that helps the lesser players around him get easier looks since there's more space to operate with. So
certainly.
I don't know.
I think Dwayne gets a bad rap nationally.
He does.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, this feels like a common theme for like black coaches in the league in general.
Yeah, exactly.
it's a whole nother conversation.
Right. And that's what it boiled down to. And it's, you could like Nick Nurse's X's and O's more. But at the end of the day, it's about getting guys to buy in. And on top, I mean, it's not the end all be all, but that's, I think 60-70% of what makes successful franchises is getting guys to buy in. If you don't have those guys that you just, the LeBrons and ADs. And I think Dwayne, every stop he's gone is gets guys to buy in and to believe, and he gets the best out of them. And I think that's makes up for a lot of what people may think is the difference in X's and O's. But I also don't think, like we said, we found out what those X's and O's truly look like just because there hasn't really been competence for him to work with. Nick, do you have a, I think you have a Sadiq Bey question since he, is better than Luke Kennard, right?
Well, no, not because he's explicitly better than Luke Kennard, but actually I am sort of getting to a point where I'm not going to get into it right now, but I do kind of want to, I have two questions. One, Nikias, I actually do kind of want you to get into it a little bit, just so like people like me and other people can understand. When you say that it seems to be sort of the common reoccurrence for black coaches around the league, do you mean scrutiny just for the sake of it? Or like, actually, if you want to go into that, you are more than welcome to.
Some of it is scrutiny just for the sake of it, but I would say more so than anything, it's scrutiny without context. And like, I feel like that played a big part in like Lloyd Pierce's firing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think with the Hawks kind of underachieving while he was there, he wasn't faultless at all. Like, some of the rotation issues, some of the late game offensive calls or lack of calls, sure, that definitely played into it. And ultimately, if you don't have a great relationship with your best player, you're on a ticking clock anyway.
Sure.
And people jumped to that conclusion before. And I knew Chris's story was coming before it was out. And that was kind of the part people automatically jumped to with the scrutinizing. He's like, oh, he's a black coach. They waited till after Black History Month. But there was a little bit more basis behind that one. But I, no, just you're, say, totally right.
James, you made that joke too. I just want to say that you also made that joke on Twitter.
Which joke?
The one that they waited a day after Black History Month to
oh, fire. That wasn't incidental.
Okay. Okay. I'm just making sure.
Like, I was joking when I said it, but I know for a fact it wasn't.
Right. Okay. The other bit to it is, you know, you look at this team, James, it's actually really funny. I made a video last night and you came out with a story today that were literally a one-to-one, like the exact same thing, which is pretty, kind of hilarious how that worked out. But inside of that, you and I kind of talk about how Detroit is sort of able to potentially turn a corner sooner than people think because of some of the pieces that we have. Some of those pieces, Sadiq Bey, Jeremy Grant, Isaiah Stewart. So sort of a two-part question here. The first part, Nikias, do you think there's a case to be made? Obviously, I think you can make a case for one of them, but is there a case for both Isaiah Stewart and Sadiq Bey being top five rookies in the NBA this season?
I would need to get a list in front of me, but like off the top of my head, like, like conservatively, I think they're both in that like 5 to 8 range. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're able to land that, you're already having a successful draft, especially once you consider where you drafted both of those guys. So you're definitely getting surplus value there. I've just flat out been wrong about Isaiah Stewart.
We were too.
Like, just from, and I'm not like a draft Twitter guy, but just from the little bit I saw of Isaiah Stewart, I'm just like, okay, why is this guy going like mid lottery? Like, well, not mid lottery, but like mid first round.
Yeah.
Like, I just.
Well, it was 13th, right?
No, it was 16th. 16th and 19th.
And then Sadiq went 19th. That's right. 19, yeah. Yep. You're right.
Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know if this is what Detroit needs in particular. Like, I figured they would have tried to load up on wings, but
yeah. So were you kind of like me then? Because Miami, your team, you guys went after Precious Achiuwa. That's who I literally said in that, as soon as the pick went through, I said I would have rather have had Precious Achiuwa. I'm actually glad. I feel good. I feel good about what we did. I'm glad that we have Isaiah Stewart. But Sadiq Bey, I think, is the one case that I think is definitively a top five rookie. I think Isaiah is the one that, you know, he might be one of those fringe guys. The second part of the question is, you know, we talk about most improved player, and it felt like for the first 3-4 months of the season, despite Detroit's record, it felt like Jeremy Grant might have been a lock for most improved. I've said recently on this show that I feel like we should probably stop believing that because Julius Randle still has a pulse. Do you think there's still a case that can be made for Jeremy Grant? Obviously, I think that there is, winning the award. How strong do you think it is? And if somebody else does take it from him, usurp him right there, do you think that player is Julius Randle?
I do think Randle has probably overtaken him just by the improvement, which I'm still kind of questioning because now we've seen the shot not falling as much in the second half of the year for Randle as it was in the first half. And that was kind of my thing. Like, in terms of what he does as a driver, as a passer, there's been improvement, but the big leap is the shooting. And I just didn't know how sustainable that was. But even with the dip, he's still shooting better than he ever has. And the Knicks are looking like a solid playoff team and not a play-in team, which is way more than I anticipated coming into the season. So I think it's Randle there. Jeremy Grant still has a strong case.
Yes.
Like, he has certainly slowed down from that first like month and a half. And that's just kind of life as a number one option. Like,
especially when you've never done it before. Yeah. Those legs too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen the dip in the 3-point shooting for him. And with so much of his game being predicated on the drive and getting downhill, that's just a lot of strain on him. And the supporting cast around him doesn't help that much either. So even with that said, Jeremy Grant should finish no lower than second, I don't think. Like, he's still been very good on balance.
For sure.
I have a question to that, too, actually, for Nekias. One, let's get the funny one out of the way. Am I the only one that's just like a little annoyed with all the Knicks hype? Like, they've exceeded expectations, as you said, Nekias. But this is New York. This is basketball Mecca, as they call themselves. And they are losing their mind for a team that's a game over 500. Like, they're acting like the Knicks are back. Am I tripping? Like, is it just been – would it be like if the Lions made the playoffs? It's just – it is what it is. And even if – like, is that the equivalent? Is it just been so long?
Yeah, it's – I think it's just relative. Like, relative to the other Knicks teams that they've had to watch over the past, like, 10, 15 years. Then, a team that was probably projected to finish, like, 13th in the East and they're, like, the fifth seed or whatever. Like, they got a right to be. And on top of that, like, the front office isn't actively shooting themselves in the foot for like the second year in a row.
Right. There's optimism.
Yeah. So optimism plus the team kind of playing above their heads on both ends, which is hilarious because the offense still stinks.
Like, yeah, it's so bad.
I understand Knicks fans being a little optimistic.
No, I get that too. I just feel like I don't ever see a bad thing about the Knicks for like anywhere all season. And I've seen that defense in person a bunch now. That shit is legit. That stuff is legit. Nekias, I know you don't cuss. And it's, that's one of the best defenses I've seen in quite some time. Now, my second question, I want to stay on Jeremy Grant. I remember when he was in the bubble and I tweeted, what's the most you would give Jeremy Grant? And I just was curious what people would say. And I think I said $18 million with the idea that he would go either stay with Denver or a team of that ilk. Team fighting for it. Then it comes that Jeremy Grant signs for the team I cover for just a hair more than that. What were your initial? Everybody was confused on what Detroit was doing because they spent the first 4 days of that the moratorium open looking like they were going to completely rebuild, trading Luke, trading Bruce, Tony Snell, Kyrie Thomas are gone. They added draft. They had went into the draft with one pick, left with four. And then on first day of free agency, they signed Jeremy Grant to $19 million. And everybody's like, why is Detroit going for the playoffs? I still didn't think the roster was good enough to do that. And I didn't – and you talk to people and you find out what the plan is. But what was your initial kind of – did you think that was too much for Jeremy Grant or was that too much for Jeremy Grant to go to Detroit?
Yeah, my first thought was, why is he leaving Denver?
Right.
That's what completely threw me off. And then my next thought was, hey – if you want more of a role, I mean, I feel like there was also a middle ground there to where maybe he can get more of a role from what he was going to get in Denver, but also you didn't have to go to Detroit. Like, if you want to get the bag somewhere, like, what would Atlanta look like with Jeremy Grant? Ooh, like, I thought that could have been if he was going to go that route, but the money was kind of whatever. Like, I knew he was going to get paid. Like, he just has the archetype, the age that he's going to make at least 16, 17 mil. Like, 19 came a little bit high for me, but I understood it.
Yeah.
But that was just my initial surprise. Like, I didn't think Detroit was on his radar at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you learn the backstory.
Great, I did. Yeah. By the way.
Thank you. Yeah. No, and I didn't know that until a couple of days after. So then it starts to make sense. Yes, you're right. And if you're Detroit, initially, that's not a guy you think, if you're doing a rebuild, that's not, when it initially happens, a guy that you think you want to be a pillar of your rebuild, because he just hasn't shown it. But you factor in the fact that Troy had belief in him taking that next step. But then you also look at it like, he's a poster boy for all these young guys you're about to bring in. You like, see that guy over there, year seven, you see what he's doing. You just keep working two way. I think it fits. It does fit. And ultimately, it all is going to come down to Jeremy playing well, which he has. I think a lot of his dip in production is, like you said, Nikias being the number one option. That's the life. Two, not having anybody to kind of ease the pressure off of him. And three, his usage, is his legs are, I'm sure, as tired as they've ever been. And of course, he still needs, he's not a finished product by any means, but I think he's in a position and he's shown enough that I think there is, I don't know what that level is, but if Detroit's able to put another primary facilitator creator around him in the next year, 2 years before that deal is up, I would love to see what that level looks like for Jeremy Grant. Cause I don't want to say this is it, because I didn't expect this. And you've seen stuff, having to watch him every game, that it's like, man, if he just had one more person to ease, and as good as Sadiq has been, he's not a facilitator or creator of offense right now. It's just, he has a lot of setup guys around him. I'm curious what that next level could bring.
Yeah, I think it is kind of working him off the ball and kind of letting him attack off the catch a little bit more than he does. Cause right now it's a lot of him walking up past half court and starting the high screen from there.
Great point.
And yep. he's been better at it than I anticipated. Like, he has some juice as a driver. Like, he's definitely experimented with the pull up more this year and it's been fine, but I don't think that's him. Mm-hmm. He'll get better with more reps, but ultimately he does need someone to take some pressure off. Like, I think eventually that's Killian Hayes. Like, something that I've mentioned on the Dunker Spot podcast, that even now, during that first 7-game stretch or whatever before he got hurt, he had no issue like setting his defender up with the handle, run them into the screen, and then making passing reads from there. It's just he wasn't getting deep enough into the paint, and when he did get there, like, he's a teenager. Like, he doesn't have the body for it. He already doesn't have like elite vertical pop or anything like that.
Yeah.
So eventually teams are starting to play a little bit more conservatively with him. I can talk, I promise. And even with some of the passing reads that he was making, like, it's the correct read, but he wasn't making it quick enough, kind of underestimating NBA speed. Like, that's a typical rookie thing. So I think as he gets more experience and starts putting more pressure on defenses, you'll get more of Jeremy Grant attacking secondary. Yep. And with him playing against the advantages, I think he's going to look even better, because he looks good as a primary right now. Mm-hmm. And kind of creating from there. So if he gets some easier looks, I think that's going to take some pressure off. And to your point about adding another guy, you know, if Detroit lands in the top three, top four or something,
there's a guy to be had.
Yeah. So they'll have their, I won't say pick of the litter, is going to depend on where they land, but they'll be able to get someone on the perimeter that can kind of create for themselves or draw attention elsewhere. So I think things are going to be looking up for Jeremy Grant if he wants to stay long term.
I have one more question, Nick, and then let's get into your game.
Sure.
So unless you have another question for him.
I have one more question, then, well, technically 1.5 more questions. Then it's the game. I promise. We'll let you go, Nikias. I promise.
I wrote today about how Detroit's a team with a championship past. You look at the history books, they're one of the historically best teams in NBA history. That is, they're a forgotten franchise because of what's happened in the last 15 years. And I wrote that under Weaver, the future doesn't seem as gloomy as it was a year ago, as it was 6 years ago. Some people texted me like, you forget about that 2015-16 season after the playoffs. I'm like, that's a season that after they made the playoffs and got swept, that they signed John Lure and Boban and Langston Galloway to big money deals. And you could tell that then that the front office, which was the coach, wasn't matching in the events that could turn into something promising. But when you watch these Pistons teams, I think you would say your casual fan might not know most of these players. If they do, they forgot about them or they wrote them off. Would you agree with my assessment that people for the last few years have mentioned the Pistons as a team. Like, what are they doing? Where are they going? To, you could see a world in which the Pistons are worth talking about in the next 2-3 years.
No, I think I'm with you that they seem to have a real plan in place, and I've had to eat crow on Detroit. I flat out laughed the first couple of days of free agency. I was like, why are they signing like 12 centers? Like, what is happening yeah. right now? Yeah. But
and now they have 12 point guards.
Yeah,
there you go. Like, just flipped on his head. But no, like, I think they've done a great job of accumulating assets, getting draft picks in there. They hammered those draft picks this season. Like, Jeremy Grant's signing has been a hit. And with all the bigs, like, they found utility for a couple of them. So, they've had a fine offseason. If I'm not mistaken, the books are relatively clear moving forward.
The adding Corey Joseph was another sneaky move, because if they don't want to bring him back, DeLon had another $8 million on his year next year. So you got rid of that. And if you want to bring Corey back, it's $12 million. If not, then you have all that money off the book. So they've done some moves to shed some stuff too.
Yeah. I mean, Corey Joseph has been sort of the ultimate like stealth tank commander for us. The efficiency with which he's played with has been remarkable.
He's better than the Detroit got the best player and the assets in that trade.
It's insane. But so just to go back a little bit, we talk about Jeremy Grant and sort of how he's the role model for all of these young guys. You know, it's actually topical because we have basketballnews.com's finest right here. I believe it was Alex Kennedy just came out with a piece with Rashawn Holmes. Okay. And he talked about the trust the process Sixers and how that was beneficial for him. And he talked about sort of the grind that you had to play with there and sort of the scratching and clawing. It's kind of like playing in AA in baseball, right?
And Jeremy was on that team.
That's where I'm going with this, yeah. Right? So the trust the process Sixers really did create a lot of gems, and sort of having that grind mentality is also something that Troy Weaver wants, trying to do that restoration of the glory days of Detroit. So having a guy like Jeremy, who's been in a situation like he was in Philadelphia, is obviously really beneficial for Detroit. So I just wanted to add that. My question and then the game is, so speaking of Rashawn Holmes, a Motown Noah All-Star, Nikias, we have on this show, so I have the Motown Noah All-Stars, which is sort of like your, I don't even know how to articulate it, like your
the
favorite,
bummiest team in fantasy made up team history. It's his favorite players that he likes to watch that aren't stars.
It's like your favorite role players and sort of your favorite like really miscellaneous guys. You're allowed to have like one or two pretty major guys. Like, I have De'Aaron Fox on my team. James has Lonzo on his. I also have guys like Dante DiVincenzo, Rashawn Holmes, Nico Melli, Chandler Hutchison. I think you kind of get the gist of where this is going. I'm not going to make you name an entire roster here, but also Harry Giles. I can't disrespect Harry Giles. He's on mine.
No way this team got an 8 seed in your 2K simulation. There's
just
no way.
Simulation, and they did. So, Nikias, I'm not going to make you run through the whole roster. Who are some of the guys, some of the role players, some of the sort of the D-tier guys in the league that you are infatuated with that would make the Nikias Duncan All-Star team?
I was going to make the joke if we were just looking at like productive role players and stuff, like the Memphis Grizzlies are just
filled with them.
they just have so many guys that I like. Like, I'm never going to quit Justice Winslow. Like, I hope he finally gets healthy and puts it together. Sure. Like, Kyle Anderson can shoot now, which is an odd development because of how slow the jumper is, but like, he's really freaking good on both ends.
Shout out to Anthony Melton.
Anthony Melton's there. Brandon Clark is there. I just wrote about Jonas Valanciunas. So they have a lot.
The answer here is just Memphis.
Yeah, that's really.
And the Caius All-Stars reside in Memphis, Tennessee.
On Beale Street. Yeah. All right. Before we sign off here, your sort of biggest thing out. Ooh, actually, I'm going to really quick. Is Elena Delladon the greatest women's basketball player of all time? Can you just tell me yes, just to make me feel better?
We can go with yes, but I don't know if I agree with that all the way. I have to think about it a little bit.
Do you agree with me that she could average 12 and 8 in the league? I've been saying that.
Don't
for years.
Put him in that spot.
Okay, fine. You don't have to do that.
I'll say no. She could not.
I'm not saying I genuinely believe that she could. Anyways, I meant to ask some WNBA questions, but we'll just get to that this summer. We'll have you back on. So you, outside of basketball, are a noted SpongeBob guy. That's like your whole brand. It's the NBA out of context tweets that confuse and make everybody mad because nobody ever knows what you're talking about, and SpongeBob memes. Okay. So we're going to play a game. This game is called Mr. Krabs or NBA owner Mark Cuban. I'm going to read you a quote.
Oh, man.
Okay. Two of the ultimate capitalists.
This is good.
And you have to. I was falling asleep last night and I was like, oh, my God, I have an idea. So I'm going to read you some quotes and you have to guess. Is it the Krusty Krab owner, Mr. Krabs, or Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban?
Okay,
you ready?
Let's do it.
Yes. What are you hoping to go for here? I got six quotes. Hoping to bat like 500 here or better.
I hope I can. I'm aiming for at least four out of six.
Four out of six. Okay.
Before you ask a question, I just want to reiterate for the people that hate on Nick and don't and wonder why I do a podcast with them. This is why.
This is a tremendous idea.
You are a creative genius, my friend.
So, this first one, treat your customers like they own you, because they do. Who said that?
That sounds like a Cuban quote.
That is a Mark Cuban quote. Okay, we're going to go with the second one, another softball. The money is always right.
That definitely sounds like Mr. Krabs.
That is Mr. Krabs. I can't remember exactly what episode, but I can picture him saying it in his voice. So you are two for two. Third quote. Every no gets me closer to a yes.
That sounds like Cuban.
Yes, that's Mark Cuban. Okay, this isn't going to go. Man, I don't know. Maybe I picked bad quotes, or maybe if this is just as good.
Are you as big of a Cuban fan as you are SpongeBob? Are you a
big Shark Tank guy?
See, like the way I'm doing this is like, I'm going to recognize the Mr. Krabs quotes before I recognize the Cuban quotes. So if it doesn't sound like Mr. Krabs, then it's.
Right.
Right.
A man works hard all week to keep his pants off all weekend.
Oh.
I think that's Cuban.
That is Mr. Krabs. I finally got you. All right, I finally.
I would have
got
guessed
you.
Cuban. That's tough.
That's a good one.
That one. Yeah. Did I say this one already? Don't let fear be a roadblock.
Okay. No, you haven't said that one. I'm gonna guess that one's Cuban.
That one is Mark Cuban.
That didn't sound cartoony enough. Yeah.
See, that's where the problem here is. So I think you're batting. I think that's five or six, or is that four or five? I don't remember how many I've read. Four or five. Okay. If you're wasting time, you're wasting money. And that's just sick. This is the last one. You said you wanted to get four. You already got four.
I got four.
Shooting 80%.
Okay. I'll go Mr. Krabs.
That was Mr. Krabs. All right. Five or six. Nikias Duncan, SpongeBob expert. That was our segment with Nikias Duncan. That was absolutely incredible. Once again, you can find his words at basketballnews.com. You can hear his voice at the Dunker Spot, which is available on all platforms, I believe. I'll let you plug yourself if you like.
Yes, you can subscribe to the Dunker Spot. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcast. Do the pod with Steve Jones Jr. He is a former NBA assistant coach and video coordinator. We just nerd out with X's and O's. He drops puns all the time. I sigh. It's a great time. Words on basketballnews.com. You can follow me on Twitter at NikiasNBA. And that's about all I got.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, stick around because James and I are going to wrap up this show with some more. I got some fun questions for James. I have one that I wanted to ask Nikias, but we had to wrap up. I'll ask you.
Thank
off
you,
the
Nikias.
Air. Don't worry.
Appreciate you, man.
Yep.
It's great to finally talk face to face too.
Thanks for having me, man. Finally glad to be e-meet, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, definitely. Long overdue. Appreciate you.
Alrighty, Nikias. Thank you very much.
No problem. Catch y'all later.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, we are sad to say that unfortunately the podcast did just get dumber because Nikias is gone. It is now just me and James. But here's the question that I wanted to ask Nikias. We didn't have time. I will ask him when he comes back. Hopefully on the next episode. No, it'll probably be this summer. James.
I hope people that weren't familiar with Nikias. One, we wanted to get Nikias on here because we both love Nikias and his work and his Twitter persona. And two, if you don't know, I wanted people to know.
I remember I was telling my brother, I was like, we're gonna have a guy called Nikias Duncan on the show, and he's like, is he like The Athletic, is he like from The Athletic? I go, no, he's just like an NBA Twitter guy, but he's like the NBA Twitter guy. He's like, oh cool, I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully that was cool for my brother, hopefully that was cool, James, like you said, for anybody who wasn't familiar with him. You know, whenever we eventually have more time with him and really get to kind of dive into some stuff, it's gonna be really fun. So Here's one thing I wanted to ask. James, I'm going to ask you. I was thinking about this the other day. I knew I wanted to ask you. You are an NBA general manager, okay?
I wish.
What's your biggest flaw?
Patience.
Okay.
Like, all the shit I write about that the Pistons are doing well that the previous regimes didn't, I would probably do that. You know what? I take that back. I would be able to be patient. I think my issue would be knowing the value in, like, a trade.
Mm.
Like, say, who's a good... Let's go Bradley Beal. Say I have Bradley Beal, and I'm ready to rebuild. What's enough for Bradley Beal? You know what I mean?
And that's the problem.
I would look back at previous trades. I would try to get more, factoring in his age, maybe the team he's going to. I think eventually you'd get a hang of it, but making sure you didn't get shortchanged in a trade would be, to me, seems scary.
So you don't want four quarters for a dollar sort of a thing?
No. I want two quarters, three dimes, two nickels, and five pennies.
Sure. I think mine, just to be completely blunt, I think I would get fleeced way too often, which is sort of the same thing of what you're saying. Use two episodes as an example. Who's the best player I would trade in Detroit for Matisse Thybulle? I said Sadiq Bey. So yeah. In those situations where somebody Danny
you
calls,
would get
hey,
fired so quick.
Hey, I got this trade on the other line. Before I say yes to it, I got about 5 minutes. I just want to say, you know, I want to offer you this. Would you take this?
And three first for Jeremy Grant. Yes or
if,
no?
If I'm under pressure like that, I'm probably just going to say yes, because my gut reactions are always the worst, right? Notoriously, they're the worst. I would get fleeced all the time, and I think I would get fired within the first year and a half.
You would definitely – you would have moved up to take CJ Ellerbe at like 12. You would have gave Harry Giles John Luehr money.
I would have given Harry Giles probably – I don't want to say 3 for 30. I don't think I would give him. No, I probably would have actually.
That's another tough. I think that would be tough for me is figuring out acceptable price for role players in free agency.
Quantifying their contracts.
Yeah, and I don't know how that. I don't exactly know how that whole world works, because obviously you talk to the agent and they tell you, well, this team offered this, this team offered that. You can have him for this, and you hope that you have a good enough relationship that with the agent that they're not lying to you, but I'm sure there are a lot of instances where they are lying to you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you have your cap guys for.
Yeah.
But, okay, this other thing I wanted to talk to you about, I was talking to Matthew. I was talking to my brother.
Thank you for the graphic, Matthew.
Yes.
This is how I talk to Matthew. I just hope it's almost like, it's like we, there's a movie, I can't think of it, but it's like almost like we're in prison and like we send kites to each other. Like,
yeah,
he has to tune in to hear me talk to him, and you're like his Geppetto. You talk for him.
I'm his mouthpiece. He's just in the car talking back to his, you know, he's like, "You're welcome, James." For those who don't, Matthew's my brother. Him and I don't see eye to eye on this. I think one problem with our show, James, is that you and I see eye to eye too much. You and I don't see eye to eye about this. It's topical because Mark Cuban, oh my God, I just realized it's even more topical because I just brought up Mark Cuban with Nikias.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban was just complaining about the play-in game. You think the play-in game is dumb. I think it's awesome. I think we should talk about it. You think it's dumb still, right?
I still think it's dumb.
Okay, let's fight. So...
Entertainment perspective, yeah, it's cool. It's the playoffs are the playoffs, 1 through 8. The postseason is what this is going to be grouped into. What are the odds that whatever team comes out of the play-in tournament is going to do anything? One. Two, you're just playing, you're making guys play more for something that seems irrelevant, risking injury.
I agree with the injury part.
And I am not a fan of, and I've mentioned this every time we talk about it, like the Portland-Memphis situation.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the bubble, right?
Yep.
Where Portland was kind of bad for a good part of last season because they were injured, and then they got healthy and were able to make a run and get in. And it's just like, Memphis was consistently man, like, but they were consistent. and they get bounced because they lose Jaren come to play in.
Yes, that's, and yeah.
Portland got healthier. And I just, it's 1-8, man. Get in, get out.
MVP. The biggest thing with that that you're leaving out was that the NBA gave New Orleans a cakewalk. They gave New Orleans the easiest bubble schedule, if memory serves, to just get into the playoffs, and they completely blew it. And bubble MVP Dame, which I don't even know if you go on Wikipedia if that's even a thing that'll even show up.
Is that on his basketball reference?
That's actually a really fun question. But here's the thing. I think it's obviously good for the entertainment value. The one thing that I agree with you on and I agree with Matthew on is let's use Dallas as an example right now, since Mark Cuban is conveniently complaining that the seventh seed Mavericks are he doesn't like the play-in game. I said wait 2 weeks. When he's in the sixth seed, he's probably not going to care anymore.
Say bubble MVP. Sorry.
That's too bad. Matthew made a good point that Mark Cuban generally has pretty strong convictions that he sticks to. I guess that's probably true. I also love him, so I'm not trying to. Anyways, I do think it's a little bit unfair that if Dallas ends up in the seventh seed, but Luka gets hurt and doesn't get to play for those 2-3 games, and they lose, that's not fair. But at the same time, do you want to see the Luka-less Mavs in the playoffs? Probably not. If you look at who's in the 10th seed right now, I think it's Golden State or New Orleans. It's one of those two teams right now. I would rather see Steph. I would rather see Zion and the Pels. Anyways, so it doesn't really make that much of a difference.
No, I agree with that point. That's a good point. I guess, to me, the playoffs are a regular season award. It's for what you did in the regular season, not what... If you were kind of bad for the regular season, but good enough to be the 10th seed in the West, and you get hot at the rate, I don't know.
Can I make the argument that it's anti-tank?
We need less basketball, not more basketball.
Can I make the argument that it's anti-tank?
Oh, it's certainly anti-tank, but I still don't think that the incentive is high enough. Like, oh, we have a chance to get to the last spot in the playoffs.
Playoff
revenue.
Great,
so we can lose. You know, I know it's playoff revenue, but you also know what else is playoff revenue? Winning 16 games and ending up with Cade Cunningham. That's revenue.
I'm not advocating for Detroit to do it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
If I'm a team, it's like try to get that eighth seed. It's still the same argument. Go for that eighth seed or go for the new shiny toy. I'm still going for the shiny toy if I'm not in position to do anything significant.
And that's the thing. It's the contingency that you are in a position where if you're Sacramento, you still sort of need that building block that we did it. We made the playoffs. There's sort of a foundation that we needed.
Yes, they need to turn a corner.
Right.
Yes.
So there's what a little bit of a difference is. And the playoff gives them a little bit of flexibility. I'm sorry, not the playoff. The play-in gives them a little bit of flexibility to actually be able to achieve that.
Here's a hot take.
Okay.
From a basketball standpoint, financially, they need to make the playoffs, this team.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment-wise, I want them to make the playoffs. But from a basketball standpoint, the Golden State Warriors don't need to be trying to make the playoffs. They need a top pick.
Yeah,
they need. They're in. You look at that roster around Steph and Dre, and Wiseman's now out. Clay, I hope he comes back healthy, but what is it now? Two injuries in a row?
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of that roster.
Two injuries that you can have in basketball consecutively.
The rest of that roster is traca.
Mm.
And they need to start getting young, good, cheap pieces and start also having an eye on the future. Yes, I want to see Steph in the playoffs, no question. But that team around those two guys is poop. Kent Bazemore, their best wing player behind Steph? Like,
yeah.
What are we doing?
I think, first of all, let's not disparage Juan Toscano Anderson.
Oh, he got Monty Morris's face the other night. Screw that guy. Flint all day.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. You and I sent back a few texts about how bad Nico Mannion is, so I'm in agreement with
you. So bad. Oh, my gosh, he's so bad. That was, like, my first game in a few months, like, catching Nico.
Yeah.
Like, and he played like a good, like, when he does play, like, I think as of late, it's been like a couple minutes here and there, like trash time minutes. But he, like, had a stretch. Bruh.
Listen, coming into the league, I was like, he's got, like, I texted you, he's got some off-ball stuff, but other than that, the guy cannot play the game of basketball.
Wasn't he, like, the worst finisher at the rim in college basketball, or, like, never took shots at the rim or something like that? I remember doing my research, and he just, like, was allergic to the rim.
He had crazy bounce. He had, like, Frank Jackson bounce. Like, it's weird.
Look at this guy. Went from Frank Jackson hater to Frank Jackson bounce.
Can I say it again? I'm sorry, Frank Jackson. I love watching you play. I was wrong. I'm so happy to be wrong that Frank Jackson is really, really fun to watch.
You just think he's cute.
I actually don't. You know what bothers me? I hate the I hate that his hair is under the headband.
You don't like that?
I do not like that DeAndre Bembry look. I don't like that.
Do you like his dad fits? His hipster dad fits.
So this is something that we talked about before. I think this is what I talked about in the episode where I originally said I do not enjoy watching Frank Jackson play. I said I understand and respect his fashion, but everybody treats it like it's the gospel. And if so, then consider me a blasphemer because I am not on board with the Frank Jackson fashion train. You know what?
It's very much I went to Duke and I got money.
Yeah, Sekou has the craziest fits I've ever seen in my life. That European...
It's eclectic.
Oh, my gosh. I think it was the Louis bag that he was wearing. It was... Actually, I would... James, I'm not like you. I don't air out our texts, okay?
I've only aired out that you're Evan Mobley.
Yeah. Text.
You want me to air out the rest of them?
There's one. Oh, there's... You want to read the ones from the other day that you were going to set as the...
Talking.
So here's the thing. You sent one. I don't want to say what player it was about, but I think that you would be cambied for it, and I think it would take a notes apology, a notes app apology for people to forgive you. Do you remember what one I'm talking about?
I do not. Hold on. No, what did I say again? Hold
I'll on. Say it off the show. I don't want to get you in trouble.
Hold on, say I was trying to find our text. Say it again, what you just said.
I sent you a picture of somebody's outfit, and I said, this dude looks crazy. Like, good. And you said about them, I hope they're saving their money.
Oh, yeah, no, don't say that.
Yeah. All right, did you find it? Do you want to read it?
We text a lot. I didn't know we texted this much. How long ago was this? Because now I'm at you driving in the Mercedes. Was it before or after that? It was after that.
I thought it was before that.
That BNC money hitting different.
Yeah. I think I thought we agreed we were gonna keep that on the deal. Wasn't it during the?
I was telling you.
It was on Sunday. It was on Sunday. I'm looking at it right now.
All right, read it, because I can't find it.
All right. I text you because we're playing the Clippers. I go, I can't lie, this hurts to watch. With Luke, I mean. And you go, LMAO, I'm surprised you can actually watch it. Okay, did you find it? Because I want you
to. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So at 10:15 on Sunday, Nick texts me, I can't lie, this hurts to watch, LMAO. With Luke, I mean. I said, LMFAO, I'm surprised you can watch it. Just... He's torn. His two loves are going up against each other. Nick's response to me, nothing to do with our conversation. Was it 30 minutes later? Yeah. Yep. 22 minutes later. Sekou has a fatty, bro. Kyle Lowry level dumper.
He does. Yeah.
I responded, this screenshot is tomorrow's podcast photo. And then Nick goes on to say,
I'm not wrong.
55 laughing emojis. I'm not wrong. As if he's trying to get me to agree, and I text him back, you're not baiting me.
So the fact that you would say that means that you agree. I don't know why you have to run from it. Kyle Lowry
Sekou has it. Yeah, I'm not saying he has a thumper.
Kyle Lowry was taking charges at the United Center, and I could feel the shockwaves from it here. Like, you don't got to run from it. It is what it is.
He has a big backside, yes.
It's,
I'm not saying he has a thumper or a fatty.
We went from a really productive episode of basketball discourse to the last 2 minutes have just been
I feel like we gave him some really good Pistons talk, like stuff we don't usually get into in the day-to-day minutia. Like, we talked about X's and O's. We talked about the future. We talked about a bunch of stuff with Nekai. Stuff that we talk about when we have a fixed kind of agenda. alert to listeners, we really don't ever have an agenda. We kind of just spitball it. So we got a good 30 minutes of solid Pistons basketball talk that I think people will enjoy. And now this is how we get paid, just saying ridiculous things.
If people know anything about me or if how I did shoot the J or anything, they know that I don't take notes and I don't script anything. So I don't plan anything ever. It is weird to me though. I mentioned this in the, but it is really weird to me. I was going to text you and be like, "Did you bite my idea? You saw my video. Like, I got to write up a quick story, get this to my editor."
No, mine was filed yesterday at 11 a.m.
Well, mine was edited yesterday at 10:59 a.m.
p.m. You'll say, you awake that early?
I woke up at 8:30 today and was like,
I saw your tweet during the day and I'm like, people are going to think we're in cahoots.
I woke up this morning. I'm like, what? Wait.
Yeah. It was literally, yours is random. Mine's not random because it's my job to do stories. Yours was random because, like, of all the days for you to hit on that topic, you picked that day. And second of all, you haven't done like a video in 4 months, and then you picked that day to do a video on that topic.
Yeah, let's talk about this friggin' shit that's you online just cyberbullying me all the time now.
Can we talk about how I bullied the Tigers?
Oh, go for it. Please tell that story because
You tell it. All right. No, you.
So James was mad because it's Akil Badu, right? That's how you say his name. Okay. You couldn't get his jersey without customizing it, which is pretty bizarre considering he's like literally the hottest in the streets right now in the MLB. He's like the best.
Has been for like since the season started. Yeah.
For the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Hit another home run last night. Another one.
Yeah. Another one.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to do my DJ call there. And James was like, "Hey, this is dumb. Like, dear Detroit Tigers, you didn't at them, but you did say that." And then it was literally no more than 3 hours later, the Detroit Tigers had it up in their store.
Yeah.
So
and
there
tweeted
you go,
it.
James. Yeah.
You
I don't
guys
like
are welcome.
I don't like that you sped past the fact that you and Rod ganged up, the little fraternity that you guys have as beat writers.
You brought this upon yourself. I ratioed you.
You did ratio me. Here's why I'm mad. It's because...
And you said I couldn't do it. And you talked a lot of shit when you ratioed me. And I got you back. And you didn't even expect it.
Dude, I literally gasped when I was like, this old man actually figured out how to successfully ratio me. I am the one who taught you what that is.
Yeah, facts.
And a monster of my own creation, James Edwards III of The Athletic, has ratioed me.
I came from the sky of the arena. Like, I know you're not a wrestling fan, but like Sting in his Crow era when he was on the at the top of the arena and he'd, whatever that thing was, he'd slide all the way down the arena into the ring. I was in the shadows. A tweet that I wasn't tagged, nothing to do with me.
Who was the guy that would always come down from the ceiling? Was his name Owen Hart?
No, that's how Owen Hart died.
Oh.
Yeah. Sting used to come down from the ceiling, but that is how Owen Hart passed away.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was not me trying to make a joke.
No, I know it wasn't. Okay. No, I know. But no, that is how he passed away, I believe. I think he broke his neck, if I'm not mistaken. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's how it happened.
Yikes, okay.
But yeah, I got you. I ratioed you. What was the tweet again? You said if they win, I'm going to make a
video. I said if the Clippers win, I'm going to do a recap. And the problem was I had
it planned
out. Oh,
you said if the Pistons win.
Did I say the Clippers? I'm sorry. I meant like in the Clippers game.
Yeah.
I was going to be on ESPN again, 100%. That recap was going to be so good. I had everything what I was going to say. I knew it was going to be so good. And you, when I say you destroyed my confidence, I was like, I don't even want us to win anymore. I was like, are we still doing the show? Are we okay? Are James and I okay?
The only reason I said you're washed, no one cares, is because you've literally admitted on this podcast many times that you don't do videos anymore.
I can say it.
Well, that's why I felt comfortable being able to. I knew you would know it was a joke because you've made the joke. Well, it's not a joke. You don't do videos anymore. Except
well, there's
when
a reason that I don't, and, but yeah, I just do it despite James. All right, you got an album you want to pick?
Pick
a number. Yeah.
Yeah. So
let's do 12.
But pick like, so you could do, don't do like 88, but like do 1 through 40.
What's your favorite number?
421. So you can't pick it.
Okay. We'll do 39.
All
so
right.
Just go one from the back.
One, two.
Or just count all the way up to 39. And just do that.
I can't. There's. I have more than 40. I can't. There's not.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay.
I have 400.
So here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at right now in James's little office right here.
You want to talk about my fit?
The lighting is a little bit
red joggers.
Oh, James, this is crazy. Oh, he's got the fleece. Okay, James.
With the short sleeve hoodie with the red sleeves. You feel me?
I can see that all the tats are out, ladies and gentlemen. All right, he's all breathing. Right, all right. All right. Oh, that's one, where we two, draw the
three,
line.
Four, okay. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Anyways, I can see in all of James's, he's got the container store. You go into the container store to put all the sneakers in the little containers. Whip something out. Show me. Well, actually, it's not a visual podcast.
You said 39?
39.
I picked this one before, so I'm going to go to 49. 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46.
Brother, you gotta pick something where we are really off the rails in these last 15 minutes.
I am picking. I just am ignoring what number you said. All right. Great. Scene, S-E-N-E, Brooklyn Knight, B-R-O-O-K-L-Y. K-N-I-G-H-T. So you might remember, I think one of our very first podcasts, I did, and Nick loves this album, Dunedin Scene. You remember Scene? Dunedin Scene?
Mm-hmm. His and Hers.
His and Hers. Well, Scene is also, he's now an actor. I think he does music sporadically, but he also, before he got into the R&B bag, he was like an underground rapper. And Brooklyn Knight is my favorite album by him. Again, name S-E-N-E, Scene, album Brooklyn Knight. And my favorite song on there, there's three. So you're going to start with Backboards, and then you're going to go to Footprints, and then you're going to go to It's Been Said. And if you like two of those three, check out the rest of the album. But Scene, Brooklyn Knight is my pick.
Okay. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know that I necessarily have story time.
You don't have an album?
No.
Nikias is going to listen to the end of this and be like, what podcast did I just get on?
Yeah, he's going to be. I promise, Nikias, if you're still listening to this, usually the episodes go a lot better than this.
I actually think this was a good podcast.
I think it was. I think Nikias was the glue that really held it together, though.
Yeah, but we did, like I said, we did so much. We nerded out in that segment that what else were we going to talk about? The Pistons haven't played since we last did a podcast.
We've also never done a structure like this where we just have a guest, and like with Laz and Matt, we did it the whole time. We don't need to talk about this on the air. We'll talk about it off the air. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars, leave a review if you're feeling generous. We will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.